Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarro, episode 64, and it's a Tuesday, September 12, 2017. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay topics, geek stories, and bizarre news articles and whatever we find. We kind of mix it up. So before we go on, this is a we would like to dedicate the show to our dear friend John Davis. He passed away last night, and it's a Palima's partner. I've known John for 17 years, and he passed away last night, and many of us are shocked, and it's really sad that we lost a great man. He's a very influential man for me. I've always drawn a lot of inspiration from John. So my condolences to his family and friends. You've hung out with John a lot before, right?
Before they moved to Colorado.
Yeah, pool parties and everything.
Yeah, and they used to be pretty active in the bear group about the same time I was getting into it, and then they pulled out and got in with the Asians and Friends more.
Yeah, that's right. So John Davis was became a president of the Asians and Friends group here in Houston, and also he became one of the Houston Area Bears triad members when we did triads before, one of the officers of the Houston Bears. And it's sad that we lost a very great man, and he will be greatly missed. And it's a great loss for our, among our friends and families. Okay, so let's go to our weekend updates, Ray. So, what kept you busy this weekend?
Work, because I had to work Saturday, and. Last week, I became addicted to Orphan Black. So, people have been talking about it for years. So, I finally started watching it. And now, I'm kind of addicted to it. So,
did I suggest that to you, or you found that out from somebody else?
I think a bunch of people I've talked to about it. And they're like, oh my God, you need to watch this. And then when I mentioned you the other day, you're like, oh my God, I'm almost done with it. And I was like, okay, don't tell me.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, you were watching it. You just started. And I already just finished Orphan Black. And yeah, that's what I've been. Watching.
Is there only five seasons, or is there another one coming?
It's only five seasons, and yeah, it's gonna be big. It's gonna be big. The way the stories went, I could tell though that it's kind of running its course because there's so much you can do with clones. I don't know if you can say it that way, but anyway, so I heard they're thinking of having a Orphan Black, the movie. That was like a rumor, but I wouldn't know what they are going to tackle because it's always been about them being clones and everything. So anyway, so we'll see what happens to that one. Anyways, last Saturday I got busy with a couple of friends who needed help also with their house because of they were damaged by Hurricane Harvey. Has it been 2 weeks already?
I ended up
helping people do some demoing in their house and cleaning up and mopping and cleaning and throwing away a lot of sheetrock, and that's what happens when you have to help people. Anyway, so you're done helping for now, right? It is very tiring.
For now, yeah, I got work I got to focus on. I got a software release that's got to go out Friday night, so that's got me eating up right now. So,
okay. Anyway, so let's so that's our weekend update. Let's go to our stories, Ray. Can you take this, Ray? What is this?
Okay, Aja and Fifi O'Hara won a Big Dick Daddy in a new Velo music video. Super sexy queer singer Velo is back with his latest single, Big Dick Daddy, off his new album, Cruising. Grab a towel because the music video is going to make you work up a sweat. As the title of the song wasn't enough to lure you in, the video for Big Dick Daddy features Andrew Christian underwear models, Pablo Hernandez, and Uriel Ramirez, and former RuPaul's Drag Race contestants Aja and Fifi O'Hara. Sadly, Velo and the drag race girls never crossed paths in the video because he's too busy. Velo's too busy eyeing up Ramirez in his sector's brief. But you do get to see Queens roll around in bed, covered in cash in a seedy motel room. So I have to watch this video, and it's posted on the website, so y'all go watch it and tell me what you think about it. My question is, is Velo a big dick daddy, or is that what he wants? What about you, Maynard?
I don't know. I think he just wants a big dick daddy. That's what I think.
Oh, you think? What do you want?
I always like a big dick daddy.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah, that's right.
I saw the video, and I thought it was pretty hilarious, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So. Right, let's go to the next story. I Botoxed my balls to make them look nicer. Okay, so this
why
is.
Why would you do that, Maynard?
I don't know. It's
why would you put a needle near your balls?
I don't know. People do that for some reason, and this time it's really for cosmetic reasons. And I saw the video of this, but it's really, I don't know. It's unnatural, and I don't think anybody cares. I don't care if a person's got saggy balls or wrinkly balls. Do you, Ray?
No, but apparently some of the younger people do, because when I was dating a younger guy a few years ago, his friends would give me a hard time. I was like, well, so you got to look at his wrinkly old balls all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had no problem with my balls whatsoever or any other part down there.
That's good to hear. So, okay, so why would anyone want a neurotoxin injected into their ball sack? That's certainly what I was pondering when I skimmed the headline suggesting that, like fidget spinning and saying all the feels, this is a thing people are inexplicably doing nowadays. It says here, I skimmed the headline suggesting, you'd read that headline, right? Yeah. Botox and other neurotoxins in the same class are injected into the body to relax muscles for cosmetic use. They are FDA approved and to relax the facial muscles we use to smile, frown, and help with migraines. This partial and temporary muscle paralysis reduces the appearance of wrinkles in the forehead and around the eyes. Given its hyper-wrinkly appearance, it was only a matter of time, plus late capitalism, before the idea of smoothing out ball bags would occur to enterprising minds. Anyway, so people are paying to top dollar to smoother their scrotum. Yeah, they want to have a smooth scrotum. So the wrinkles in your scrotum are there because they're functional. They protect you from injury and help your testicles to safely produce sperm. But the conditions of making lots and lots of awesome sperms have to be just so, in particular to the temperature. The optimal temperature for sperm production is 35 degrees Celsius or about 95 degrees Fahrenheit. The core temperature of the human body, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's about the heat. It's about the... Anyway, what's important around here, Ray, why do people want to do this? It's really just for cosmetic reasons, and I don't know.
No,
I mean,
no,
would you do it, Ray?
Well, no, and there's a lot more to read, so I think keep reading the article.
Because, really? So
you decided to take this one, not me.
Yeah, I know, but I'm really cutting it short because I know what it
but it explains a lot about the procedure, so.
Yeah, the procedure is just injecting Botox to your balls. So the temperature around us and our gonads is fluctuating all the time, meaning the testicles are constantly being let out and reeled in to keep them in the Goldilocks zone. So you could think of the scrotum as an evolutionary adaptation analogous to sticking one leg out of the covers where it gets too hot. Okay, so, but a fluctuating temperature isn't the only reason for the scrotal cinching and testicular ups and downs. The testicles are also retract when there's danger afoot, a fight or flight response, and just prior to ejaculation. So the cremaster and dartos muscles are what keep the nuts where they need to be. I remember when you touch the side of the legs, Ray, the cremasteric reflexes would make your balls
sucking up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So from a biological imperative perspective, during heavy activities such as biking, running, exercising, the scrotum is relaxing and contracting all the time. So to keep the testicles protected from trauma. So if you relax the scrotum with Botox, the function of the cremasteric muscle is not working. Then you're putting your testicles at risk for trauma. So that is dangerous. I don't like
that. Which is exactly why I ask why people are doing this. So apparently this is not people that want to reproduce and have kids.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want their balls to be, you know, to be productive, I guess. And I don't know, this is crazy. I mean, it's all cosmetic. And who would only see this? Someone who you're going to have sex with. And it's not worth it. I mean, why would they even do this?
So.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's a very long article about it.
No, that's a very short article compared to what it was. So.
Oh, okay. Lots of explanation. But yeah, why would anyone do this? And I just don't see any reason why would anyone. Anyway, let's ask the audience. If you had Botox, would you spend thousands of dollars just to put Botox on your scrotum just to make it look smooth? Anyway, so if it gets squished, or if you're using a cock ring, it will be smooth. It can be smooth because it gets stretched. This is what you need anyway, right? Anyway, let's go to the geek, Ray. Oh, it's a gay/geek? Oh, okay.
This is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Geek. I read about this before. Oh, my God.
Okay.
So.
All right. Advances in AR used to spot signs of sexuality. Modern artificial intelligence is much feted, but its talents boil down to a superhuman ability to spot patterns in large volumes of data. Facebook has used this ability to produce maps of poor regions in unprecedented detail with an AI system that has learned what human settlements look like from satellite pictures. Medical researchers have trained AI and smartphones to detect cancerous lesions. A Google system can make precise guesses about the year a photograph was taken simply because it has seen more photos than a human could ever inspect and has spotted patterns that no human could. AI's to pick up patterns is now attuned to more intimate matters. Researchers at Stanford University have shown that machine vision can infer sexual orientation by analyzing people's faces. The researchers suggest that the software does this by picking up on subtle differences in facial structure. With the right data sets, similar AI systems might be trained to spot other intimate traits such as IQ or political views. Just because humans aren't able to see the signs in faces does not mean that machines cannot do so. The researchers' program details, which are soon to be published in the journal Personality and Social Psychology, relied on 130,000 images of 36,000 men and 170,000 images of 38,000 women downloaded from an American dating website, which makes its profiles public. Basic facial detection technology, I'll get it out in a minute, folks, was used to select all the images which showed a single face of sufficient size and clarity to subject to an analysis. This left 35,000 pictures with gay, straight, male, female, all representative. So what they did, they basically took all these pictures and based on a set of criteria, they took these almost 200,000 pictures and got them down to 15,000 that the system could analyze.
Mm-hmm.
Then they were fed into a different piece of software called VGG Face, which spits out a long string of numbers to represent each person, their face print, so to call, which is interesting because we got talking about face print in the next article. The next step was to use a simple predictive model known as logistic regression to find correlations between the features of those face prints and their owner's sexuality, which was declared on the dating website. So that they were able to tell, based on this person's set up profile, whether they were gay or straight. So they had that ahead of time to prove that if the IA could do it.
AI.
When showed one photo each of a gay and a straight man, both chosen at random, the model distinguished between them correctly 81% of the time. When shown five photos each of man, it attributed sexuality correctly 91% of the time. The model performed worse with women, telling gay and straight apart 71% actually after looking at one photo, and 83% actually after five. In both cases, the lover performance far outstrips human ability to make this distinction. So that means our gaydars is way off. So,
but it looks like AI.
The same name, just people could tell.
Keep going. Can you hear me?
Well, you cut off, so I was trying to figure out, waiting for what you were going to say.
Oh, I'm still on. Keep going, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Using the same images, people could tell gay from straight 61% of the time for men. So it's easy to tell if men are gay or not, and 54% of the time for women. This aligned with research that suggests humans can determine sexuality from faces it just better than a chance. The study has limitations. Firstly, images from a dating site are likely to be particularly revealing of sexual orientation. So based on the pictures and stuff posted, there are some traits that can be gleaned. Now, people walking down the street might not have the same things that they pose in a picture for. Mm-hmm. So when asked to select 100 males most likely to be gay, only 47 of the chosen by the system actually were, meaning that the system ranks some straight men as more likely to be gay than men who actually are. So my question is, were those
are
men
they really gay?
Bisexual or closeted, and they didn't actually
are they
post
probably
that.
Gay?
Are they the ones on Craigslist that are married, always looking to hook up?
Uh-huh.
However, when it was asked to pick out the 10 faces it was most confident about, 9 of the chosen were in fact gay. If the goal is to pick a small number of people who are very likely to be gay out of a large group, the system appears to be able to do so. So the point is not what that software has been created, which can reliably determine gay from straight. That was not their goal. Rather, they have demonstrated that search software is possible, which has big implications with marketing.
Well, yeah, that's true. Definitely. So, if they scan Facebook and see your face, Ray, and then they'll probably advertise for you some bear wash for your beard.
That's the whole thing. If they can determine, oh, this person's gay. So it's like Facebook caters to the ads on the page based on what you look at.
Yeah, if you previously looked at Amazon something like shower curtain.
So I think one of the most annoying things in a movie I ever saw was, what was the name of that Tom Cruise movie where he was in the future?
Minority Report? No,
I can't remember if it was Minority Report or not. Is that the one where you walk down, as everywhere you walk, there was advertising popping up that was focusing just on what you like?
Yep, it is Minority Report. The reason why is
this is what is going to make that happen.
Oh yeah, because it was in Minority Report, what happened was he used his eyes. He had his eyes replaced by a Japanese guy, so they're treating him like a Japanese guy, Mr. Naoto. But it's not really Naoto. He's got a different.
But I mean, it's all based on facial recognition.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. So they detected that he's the Japanese CEO or something, and then the ads came out because they thought that's him. That it's the. But this one's a facial recognition, which is a lot less intrusive. So anyway,
yeah.
So that's interesting. But what they did there is a proof of concept that they can do it. Because if you're detecting 71%, 80%, 90% accuracy, then it's not because it's going to be used.
But then it also gets in that thing, can that be used to predict based on people's appearance? Are they going to be doing something bad?
I don't know about that.
Commit crimes? Or something going on to help, say just walking random down streets and the basic street cameras are looking around and the cops are watching all this stuff, and it starts picking out people that might look like they're up to no good. Will it ever be that good so it can detect stuff like that?
That's a whole lot of discrimination right there. Arresting people because of how they look like. because of an algorithm.
Well, I mean, no, but it might pinpoint people like terrorism.
I don't know about that.
People doing some... I mean, there's got to be some change in facial features that we can't really detect by eye, that a computer can detect or intelligence can detect to tell whether somebody's doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There's always some give that detects.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So, yeah.
I don't know if they're going to do that yet. I mean, it's taking a picture.
But this is proof of concept that they can start doing stuff like that.
That they can detect how to market
well,
to
can,
do their marketing, probably. That's
the government will take it and do much more with it.
But yeah, that's always possible. You can always say there's a 0.1%. There's still a chance. I mean, that you can always argue about that. But what I'm saying right now, what the article is saying, is really showing that they can detect sexuality and you're right about marketing. They can
But that's the whole thing. What else can this same formula be done to detect?
But I don't know about... Oh, taking a picture. Oh, I scanned you. You're a terrorist. I don't think that's...
I didn't say they're a terrorist. I say it was detecting stuff that might somebody might be up to no good.
So, okay, so
based on their actions and stuff. Yeah, kind of like the precog thing.
No. There are no actions here. These are just pictures. There are no actions yet.
Well, you're saying pictures, but if you're out and people walking down the street and the cameras are randomly looking at people's faces for facial recognition, then it can catch a lot. I think it can be enhanced on. But anyway, the ultimate thing I think this is going to focus down to is there's always that one coworker or friend that you've always wondered about. There might be a future app to download for your iPhone for that.
Maybe it is. Well, speaking of iPhones, let's go to the Geek Ray. Yeah. We talk about the iPhone X, which was announced with the edge-to-edge screen, Face ID, and no home button. So I've seen the previews on this one. It's really interesting, but I don't know. It's pre-orders for $999 starting October 27th.
I got a disclaimer. Don't be calling me like I'm a sugar daddy or something, because I'm a splendid daddy and I ain't going to buy you no damn iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if y'all want to go start a GoFundMe page so y'all, the listeners to the show, can fund me and Maynard so we can get a new iPhone and test all this stuff out, we will gladly appreciate that.
Oh, yeah,
don't
sure.
Don't call me about buying you your damn iPhone. Say, like, Daddy, Big Dick Daddy, what's up?
Oh,
buying you damn
nice.
iPhone. That's what's up.
Mm-hmm. So this is from The Verge. So the long-awaited and extensively leaked special edition iPhone is finally upon us, and it's called the iPhone X. Oh, iPhone 10. Oh, okay, iPhone X. iPhone 10. That's weird.
So we skipped 9.
We skipped 9. I know. So this new super flagship phone from Apple features an edge-to-edge screen with a notch at the top of... top to accommodate the front-facing camera and new Face ID sensors. So first, iPhones to support wireless charging, which is great. The iPhone X has glass on both the front and the back, and it has surgical-grade stainless steel and steel around the sides. It is water-resistant and comes in two colors, space gray and silver.
I'll take a silver one, please.
I'll take a space gray anytime.
Okay.
So it also has the highest pixel density of 458.
Yeah, but my question about
DPI.
All this glass, is it the
bullet? Gorilla Glass?
Gorilla Glass? Or is it just like when iPhones first come out, you dropped them and they shattered and you had to go spend another $1,000?
I think it's, they didn't say it's Gorilla Glass.
They didn't say it's Gorilla Glass. That's what's got me wondering. So
yeah. So a display over in an iPhone with the Apple calling it a Super Retina display. Yeah, so... This is intriguing because it's an OLED display this time. It's going to be super clear. I've seen OLED screens before. It's really good. So Apple has omitted the home button for the first time, replacing it with an upward swipe from the bottom of the phone, along with the home button, which used the house to house the Touch ID fingerprint sensor. Apple is also moving away from fingerprint authentication. The method that replaces it is called Face ID and does what the name suggests. It unlocks the phone just by having you look at it. It's based on the tech in the notch at the top of the phone. It combines an infrared system with the front camera and so-called flood illuminator that beams a light at your face so it can be recognized even in the dark. Apple even went the extra step of building a dedicated neural engine based on a dual-core system, custom chip design to process face recognition in real time. And so I've seen the videos on this one, and it's really intriguing that they do that. And I personally do not like it that your only way to access the screen or to turn it on is your face. But I'm sure you can use a pin. They still have that. I saw the screen that you can still use a pin, as opposed to using your fingerprint with the sensor. But now they're doing the Face ID. It's kind of gimmicky for me. To me, it has a problem with that I don't want to show you the contents of my phone. Okay, here, just look at your phone then. And then what's that? It's so easy to compel you to do things because it's just your face. If you open your eyes and things like that, as opposed to enter your PIN. No, I'm not going to enter my PIN to incriminate myself. You know, I mean, that's that's kind of that's one of the arguments that can be used against this.
Well, it's also this: if your spouse is trying to figure out if you're up to no good and you're asleep, can they take the phone and hold it up to your face and unlock it?
That's the point. You have to be looking at it. It says there's there's a laser that goes to the eyes. It also detects the eyes, so it has to be all together. That's what it said. So that's what he said. You have to be looking at the camera, so it would detect your eyes. So if your eyes are closed, yeah. And there is a demo in the video also alongside with this article that they were showing, a person who's had this iPhone 10 registered to his face. So the guy had to close his eyes before it could detect him. But then when he opened his eyes, then it detected him. So. Yeah, it does need the eyes. So unless you can pry the eyelids open, probably that would work.
Yeah, unless you're one of those people that actually sleep with their eyes open sometimes.
I don't know if that even happens.
It happens.
Okay. All right, let's go to the Bizarre Ray.
Okay.
So I like this.
You cut much of that article out? Okay. All right, scrolling down the Bizarre. Man goes in for a no jobs and ends up with a permanent
It's a nose
wreck.
Job. A nose job.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A man got quite the shock after heading into the hospital for a route nose job. Neven Shivanovic, who was filmed for a Channel 4 documentary about cosmetic surgery at the time, was left with priapism following his operation. That means hard on. The unfortunate side effect meant that the 45-year-old from Croatia found himself with an unwanted and long-lasting erection. Well, all I got to say, if I found myself with a long-lasting erection, it would be wanted, and I would put it to good use. So,
and you'll call your friends. Okay.
That's right. He said, I was in Iran for rhinoplasty for the documentary film that British Channel 4 is filming covering my life. We did not record the surgery, but only the consultation sessions with the doctor. They gave me general anesthesia, and I reacted badly to it. I reside in a Belgrade hospital since Friday. Unfortunately, I do not get analgesics. How do you say
that? Analgesics.
Analgesics, because they do not give them to patients here. So I continue to suffer. I have to be at the hospital for 5 more days. So he's going to be at the hospital for 5 days because he's got a raging heart on. He sounds almost like, what's his name from True Blood? Kovanovic also hopes that the miss out will be the start of an international career for himself, although we're not quite sure why. Because you can
what
tell
kind of career?
Like
porn?
I don't know. But from the picture, if you go look at the article, it's like, okay, yeah, we can tell you have plastic surgery and you're trying to be a pretty boy. So he said, I look forward to a movie about myself. Channel 4 dedicated a whole episode about me. I think this is a big deal and I hope this is the start of my international career. You know what? It says the article, if Jake Gyllenhaal or Alexander Skarsgård plays him, then we're down to be honest. Because, you know, I'd like to see both of them with a 5-day hold on.
I know Jake Gyllenhaal, but Alexander Skarsgård, I can't remember who he was. Where is he from?
In True Blood, he was.
Sheriff.
No, not the sheriff. Yeah, the sheriff, the vampire sheriff. Yes,
the vampire sheriff. Okay,
I can't remember what his name is, but yeah.
All right. Okay, so next and last article, which is actually something I read before also. It's kind of unfortunate for the woman. So a woman threw a poo out of a window on a first date and firefighters had to get involved. Firefighters were called after a woman ended up stuck upside down hanging out of a window after she got wedged while trying to retrieve a poo. He tried to throw it and just didn't throw. She didn't throw it really well. So emergency services were forced to destroy the window of her date, Liam Smith's student house in the process, but the poo was rescued still. Okay. Liam, who studying postgraduate sociology at Bristol University, told the story on a crowdfunding page to raise money for a new window. I recently took a girl I met on Tinder to Nando's. We had a lovely evening and enjoyed each other's company very much. After our meal, we repaired back to my house.
She's English.
Okay. Repaired back to my house for a bottle of wine and a Scientology documentary, really? About an hour into Louis Theroux and Chill. Oh, Louis Theroux and Chill. Instead of Netflix and Chill.
Yeah.
My date got up to use the toilet. She returned with a panicked look in her eye, and she told me she had something to tell me. I went for a poo in your toilet, she told me, and it would not flush. I don't know why I did this, but I panicked. She continued. I reached into the toilet bowl. Gross! Reached into the toilet bowl, wrapped it in tissue paper, and threw it out of the window. I was understandably concerned and told her we would go outside, bag up the offending poo in the garden, bin it, and pretend the whole story affair had never happened. Unfortunately, owing to a design quirk of my house, the toilet window does not, in fact, open to the garden, but instead into a narrow gap of about a foot and a half, separated from the outside world by another non-opening double-glazed window. It was into the twilight zone that my date had thrown her poo. Yeah, so he put it through the poop, you know, in between the windows. So being an amateur gymnast, she was convinced that she could reach into the window and pull the poo out using the tried and tested inside-out bagger's glove technique. Unfortunately, she couldn't reach it. She climbed further in and had the same problem. Eventually, I agreed to give her a boost up into the window. She climbed in head first after her own turd, reached deeper into the window, bagged it up, and passed it out over the top back into the toilet from whence it came. She called out to me to help her climb out of the window. I grabbed her waist and pulled. She was stuck. And stuck fast. Try as we might, we could not remove her from the window. She was stuck fast, upside down in the window, upside down in the gap. Unfortunately for my date, at this stage, I could see only one way out of our predicament. She had been upside down in the window for about 15 minutes at this point, and I was starting to grow concerned for her health. I called the fire brigade, so that's what happened to them. And yeah, they want to raise £300 to repair this broken window, and let's see what happens. It's I don't know how much it is now.
And they've gone on other dates since then.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So it's just it's something. If they ever get together, that's going to be something they're going to talk about when they have kids. You know, that's going to be a good story for them to tell. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Ray. So I guess that's our story, and like I said, this show is dedicated to our friend John, and this coming week we plan to go to Denver and see and what we can do over there, and probably do join in the celebration of life. And like I said, yeah, we'll miss John a lot. Special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes. And listen to us in those channels and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will catch you guys next week. Bye.